Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right off Real Madrid at your peril. My goodness, they've done it again. An extraordinary match at the Sánchez Pizjuán. Real Madrid coming from behind to beat Sevilla by 3-2. And that's where we start today's ESPN FC. Welcome to the show, Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol alongside me. This, if you ever want a game of two halves, this epitomizes it beautifully. 18 minutes, Real Madrid felt that maybe they should have had a penalty here, Ali.
And it's a mess between Bono and Diego Carlos. Bono drops the ball, and then the swinging arm of Diego Carlos makes contact with the ball, go towards the ball. Somehow VAR doesn't get involved, telling the referee Cuadra Fernandez to go take a look at it.
More handball calls later on. However, 3 minutes after that, Rakitic with a goal. What's Militao up to?
I have no idea. If Militao stands his ground, it's him right in the chest. I mean, hey! There's no way possible Ancelotti's told him to leave the wall for a start. So why he comes out, and not only that, he runs sideways. He doesn't even run straight at it. There's nothing at all to tell you what happened there.
So a bit quickly, we'll make it 2-0 as well. Once again, Militao involved, Ali.
And the spacing between him and Lucas Vazquez is all over the place. Disorganized Real Madrid in that back line. And then once this ball is being played into Tecatito Corona, because of that poor spacing between Lucas Vazquez and Militao, Militao takes the wrong angle. Tecatito Corona gets goal side. From there, should have been a penalty, not called by the referee, rightfully so, because it falls into the path of Lamela, who makes it 2-0.
Now, big call here. Camavinga, already on a yellow card, brings down Martial. He's not given a second booking, remains on the pitch. Lopetegui furious. VAR wouldn't intervene.
Well, I can't tell you why he doesn't get a yellow. It's got a yellow written all over it.
Wasn't even called a foul, Stevie. I mean,
what the referee is thinking is beyond me.
Real Madrid absolutely came flying out of the traps, didn't they, in the second half. Benzema with a chance here.
Surprise that Karim Benzema doesn't let this ball run across his body so that then he can step into the shot. That additional touch allows the defender to close down the space.
But talk about on the rope, Sevilla continuously after the break found themselves defending deep. And it'd be Rodrigo come on as a second half substitute, would make it 2-1.
Yeah, nice little ball here it is from Carvajal. Rodrigo just gets himself ahead of the defender, roofs it.
More opportunities for Real Madrid. Karim Benzema puts it wide.
A little run from Rodrigo. Leaves it with a back heel from Benzema. It's a tight angle. Always difficult to score from there.
Big chance here, though, for Sevilla to put it to 3-1. Rafa Mir with the opportunity. It's a bad miss.
It's a horrible miss. I mean, it looks as though he's not in control of his body when he leaves the ground.
Moments later, Real Madrid thought they'd made it 2-2. However, the referee blowed for handball against Vinicius Jr. as he controlled the ball. VAR would tell him to go and look at the monitor. He would do so, but he would stick with his original decision, handball, no goal.
There's no chance this is a handball.
No.
Chest of Vinicius brings it down, but the referee, when he went to VAR, was looking at every possible angle and reason to make sure that he did not admit that he was wrong. Honestly, he's pointing as if he's touching the arm, and even when he does that, he's pointing at the sleeve, which the laws of the game tell you that's not a handball.
Is it possible he could make a worse decision than not sending Camavinga off? Well, I guess the answer was yes.
Indeed, and then Real Madrid would get the equaliser. The referee couldn't do anything about this from Nacho.
I mean, by this stage, Sevilla, you talk about on the ropes, can't get a hold of it, can't clear it. And that's a cool, calm finish. Nice little cutback. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. We've done it again.
So at 2-2, Real Madrid continue to push for the winner. And Karim Benzema, nowhere near, had one of his best games. Uh-huh. We've seen some of the missed chances that the Frenchman had. But the ball would fall to his feet. 39 goals in 39 games for Benzema. And so many of them so crucial.
Combination down the right-hand side between Vini Jr. and Rodrigo. Rodrigo, who made an impact coming into the game, scores a goal, and then gets around the corner of Agustinsson, gets his head up, finds Karim Benzema, who somehow is wide open, top of the six-yard box, takes an additional touch to find that angle. And wouldn't you know it, he goes off of the Sevilla defender who's come across Agustinsson, past Bono. 3-2 Real Madrid, Lopetegui. Well, yeah, that says it all.
More controversy, though, late on. This was right at the death of Sevilla. We're pushing for that equaliser. Now, Carvajal with a push in the back, Stephen, you felt this should be a penalty.
100%. He makes no attempt to go for the ball. There's no question. Look, watch. It's a shove in the back. I mean, it really doesn't get any more obvious than that. Watch. I mean, that's a foul. You can't see anything else. I mean, some of the decisions in this game have been absolutely atrocious. Including that last one.
In the end, though, nothing given. Real Madrid celebrate yet another comeback. A remarkable season for Carlo Ancelotti's side. And what that means is that they sit now 15 points clear at the top of the table. They have 6 matches remaining. Barcelona have 8. It would be a miracle, though, wouldn't it, you feel now, for Xavi's side to catch Real Madrid at the top of the table. What a game, what a match, what a moment once again for Real Madrid this season as we welcome Pablo Zabaleta into the show. Pablo, they're unbeatable. You can't stop them.
Incredible. That Real Madrid team is something, you know, phenomenal. I mean, the mental strength of that team is incredible because, you know, they've been really poor in the first 45 minutes, but then they go into the second half and they produce this kind of performance, you know, with a great comeback. They get the 3 points. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, they believe the experience, to produce those magic momentum on the game, to kill the game off, that incredible. For me, you know, it's not the first time. That always happened recently with this Real Madrid team. So, you know, credit to them, to be honest.
That swagger, that belief, Stevie, is something that is rare in this game, isn't it? To still have that kind of collective belief that you can come back in these situations.
The thing that I find incredible about this team is that the majority of sides who are 2-0 down away from home, who come back and make it 2-2 from nowhere with, what, 5-6 minutes to go, will then say, right, this is it. We're holding on to what we've got. This team doesn't do that. This team thinks it can win. Even though there's 5 minutes to go, even though they're away from home, everybody's against them, they just believe that they can do it. And once again, they've done it.
What happened, Ali? Because Sevilla were on top, absolutely, for the first half. But the second half, they didn't have a sniff. And I think overall, it's very difficult to put up an argument that they deserve anything from this game.
Right, so obviously, we pay attention to Real Madrid and what they do. And all the things that we have mentioned, the sense of belief, the mentality, the mental strength that Pablo just alluded to it. There's another side to this discussion. There's a mental weakness from Sevilla. While the lights came on for Real Madrid in the second half, the lights went off for Sevilla. And the belief that Real Madrid has, Sevilla does not. And what they know for certain is that Real Madrid, once they get going, they fear that. And what you saw from Sevilla in the second half was fear. Because now all the movement, all the possession, all the rotation that you were seeing in that first half was not happening. It was all Real Madrid all the time. There was no outlet for Sevilla, hanging on just for the sake of hanging on. Zero possession, zero releasing of the pressure. And in the end, Real Madrid says, oh, do you think you're going to stop us like this? Early goal, then a second goal, and then a late goal. 3-2, Sevilla. See you guys later.
To that point, though, it isn't just Sevilla. We saw it with PSG. We saw it with Chelsea as well, Pablo. There's something about this Real Madrid side that psychologically exploits their opponents.
Absolutely. This is what I'm was saying before, I mean, it's not the first time that we have seen, you know, Real Madrid, you know, come back from, you know, being down to 1-0 and playing poorly and then, you know, produce moment of magic that allowed them to win games. So that's why, you know, as an opener, when you're facing Real Madrid, you need to do the perfect game. I mean, you don't need to do mistakes. If you're winning, you have to keep pressing high at the pitch. You cannot give the ball, you know, to them to control it, because, you know, they have quality enough in that team, and they have the experience, the composure, the calm to say, we are Real Madrid. We know that we're going to win the game. We're going to score goals. So, you know, that's something that, you know, I really appreciate from that team. They have that spirit that they always give them a chance to win games.
You know who else knows that Real Madrid is coming back? The fans in the stadium. So Sánchez Pizjuán, that was jumping in the first half. It was a party. All right, everybody's excited. Look at us. We're going to beat Real Madrid. And then they scored the first goal in the second half, became 2-1, and Sánchez Pizjuán went like, shh. And all that panicky attitude that you saw from the players out on the field, you were also seeing it on the stands. You're also feeling it. And as a player on the field, you sense that it's turning, but then you get confirmation from the fans. Oh, yeah, it's turning, and we cannot do anything about it. We cannot control it. It's out of our control now. It's all Real Madrid, and good Lord, please help us. That's another way to try to close out a game against Real Madrid.
You have to wonder what Lopetegui said to them at halftime, though. Because as Alex,
don't say that again.
Everybody knows that this side couldn't be as bad in the second half as they were in the first. So you instinctively, as a football player, have to know that this is going to be a different side.
Right.
And so you should be ready for that. It looked like Sevilla walked out and thought, we'll just do what we did before, mm-hmm. and we'll be fine. The game's done and dusted. We're two up. They haven't bothered us. They haven't troubled us. Don't worry about it. That's the kind of impression that they gave us. So I would love to have heard what Lopetegui was saying, because if he wasn't going around making sure and reminding this team what they were up against, then that's a dereliction of duty.
What's interesting, Ali, I mentioned it, 39 goals in 39 games for Benzema. What would be interesting was to go through those goals to see how many of them have been match winners, how many of them have been key, because it feels like every single one of them have been crucial in this charge that Real Madrid have put together.
And the early part of the season, it was Benzema and Vinicius scoring the important goals. Vinicius has cooled off over the last couple of months, and it's been all Benzema all the time in this decision-making goals, in these moments of truth. And it's been in the biggest stage, Champions League, today against Sevilla. Sort of it wasn't a title decider. We all think that Real Madrid is going to win this thing, but it really puts Sevilla away. In those moments, and while he had chances today, who else would you want with the opportunity beyond the 90th minute to score the game winner? Even if he had missed 10 chances, my vote is give it to Karim.
Yep.
Give it to Karim, because I know with certainty that when it counts, when it's all on the line, this guy's going to score goals. Why do I know this? Because I see it all the time. If I'm a Real Madrid player, that's what I'm doing. I say, I am finding Karim inside the 6-yard box, inside the 18-yard box. I say, Karim, here, buddy, go ahead and win it for us. And he did it again.
As good as the game was, you mentioned it, the officiating was... it was quite extraordinary. Let's talk about, should we start off with the Camavinga possible second yellow? The more you see this, Pablo, the less it makes sense that the referee didn't give him that second booking.
Nah, Camavinga was so lucky to remember that he should have been sent off. I mean, look at this. That was me straight red, always.
You know, the thing is, sometimes you can...
seriously, look. Sorry, go, Steve.
Sometimes you can try and figure out what may be going through the referee's head on occasions. But on an occasion like that, it's impossible, because you can't search for any reason why it's not a card. You could argue he's the last man. There's no question he never got anywhere near the ball. He's absolutely 100% made contact from behind with Martial. I mean, there is nothing to suggest this is anything other than a yellow and maybe a red. But yet, nothing happens.
Yeah.
There's no reason for that.
Well, the problem was that the referee, Guillermo Cuadra Fernandez, because if we're going to... criticize him.
We'll give him all three names.
Yes, yes, we're going to put him out there. Yeah. When the play happens, he doesn't even call a foul. He goes, no, he got the ball. Play on. Ball. All ball. What ball? What ball? It's ridiculous.
We should almost have a power rankings of terrible decisions for this game. Yeah. How does it compare to the handball?
Well, I think the handball is worse because he actually got a chance to see it again. He went and saw it. VAR says, hey, buddy, I think you may want to take a look at this because, well, I think it's off the chest and potentially the upper part of his arm, which is not a handball nowadays, according to the laws of the game and the sleeve and the armpit and all that nonsense. This is not a handball. And then he goes and sees it on the video. And instead of having an open mind, this guy is trying to nitpick and making sure that he finds something, any sort of doubt, to make sure that he doesn't admit that he was wrong. It is an egregious mistake because he's done it twice. On the initial call, and then he doubled down and said, no, this guy is not wrong. It's not a penalty.
Of course,
it's not a goal.
Bottom of the armpit, kind of the bottom of the sleeve, that's where the line is, isn't it, Pablo? Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, it was a big mistake. It wasn't a handball. I mean, the ball is like on his shoulder here. You know, it was clear. If you look at the clips many times, it's not a handball. But I think the referee, he knew they made a mistake on Camavinga. That's why probably, I don't know, he was trying to compensate.
Well, that makes it better.
With the, you know, that no, seriously, it was, you know, both decisions were absolutely ridiculous. I mean, we all can see that. But I think on Camavinga, it would have been a different game. You know, going 10-man, you know, the first half, with Sevilla winning 2-0, you know, with the equaliser that, then, you know, Real Madrid had time enough to score two more goals.
It's it over. Pablo, Real Madrid are champions?
I think so, yes. We spoke before the game that it was a huge game for Real Madrid to put in a good performance, to get the 3 points, to extend, you know, the gap between both teams. You know, they're not going to give a chance to anybody. So, I think Real Madrid is going to win La Liga for sure.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So then it will be Chelsea against Liverpool in the FA Cup final. As Thomas Tuchel's side wins by 2-0 after the match, Alexis Nunes caught up with Timo Werner, Patrick Vieira and Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
You came on in such a cagey and kind of slow moment for Chelsea in the first half. What did the gaffer say to you? Because you really changed the game.
No, second half we changed the formation a bit. And I think that worked. You know, early on we started to get opportunities and probe. And in the end, the ball just dropped to me and I tried to get a good connection with it. But, yeah, second half we came out with more energy, more riskiness to play, you know, in the final third, and, you know, it came off.
We were sitting in the side of the Crystal Palace fans and the atmosphere, the belief and the hope, they say, is something that you've brought to the club now. So it's a difficult day, I know, but a proud one?
It's a difficult day, of course, for the football club, because when you are so close to the final, you want to go to the final to have that kind of experience. But the atmosphere has been fantastic, and this is the DNA of this football club. The fans are part of this football club, and you've seen today the support that they had for the team for the 90 minutes, and we have to build from that. But of course, we are disappointed, but I think Chelsea was too good for us.
Speaking of difficult games, difficult times, that's something that you've gone through, but you've come out so well. Thomas Tuchel recently speaking about how you've really changed and gone for the better. What has he done that's helped you so well? Because it seems to be working perfectly.
Yeah, I think after the since the Southampton game, it's something different. Also, how I feel. The speed is a little bit back. The physical game is a bit back. So everything is a bit back, and that helps me a lot to bring this performance. I'm happy. I work hard the whole season, and I try to keep this momentum going.
Something that you'll find in Liverpool that you guys do have next in the FA Cup final. We spoke to Ruben Loftus-Cheek, and he said it's going to be difficult dealing with that. How do you guys plan to approach that game? I know there's still time, but you've recently met them in the Carabao Cup final, which was one of the best games I think many saw this season.
I think we had the same game, the same prepare for a game a few weeks ago. So I think we will do not so much different things, because it worked really well in this game. I think both teams had the chance to win it also in the regular time. And I think, or I hope, it will be a game like the last game. I think for the supporters, for us, it makes a lot of fun. And that's why we play football, and that's why the people watch football.
So in the end, a comfortable victory for Chelsea to book a place in the FA Cup final. For more reaction from Wembley, let's go back. Alexis is with Nadim and Frank.
Well, guys, we've wrapped up another epic day at Wembley. This time, Chelsea march on to the FA Cup final. Once again, up against Liverpool. We'll get to that. Hopefully a great matchup in that final that's coming in May. But first, let's deal with Chelsea Crystal Palace, guys. We knew that Crystal Palace were going to make it difficult for Chelsea. That first half really was hard for Chelsea to get the breakthrough, wasn't it, Frank?
It was, and mainly because of Chelsea, because Chelsea didn't put the pace that they needed to put on. And also, I think they were ready for the fight. Crystal Palace did everything they had. They had also a chance at the end of the first half to score a goal. And we talked about that with Patrick Vieira. It would have been a different game scoring that first goal, and he said, yeah, that was crucial. We missed the chance, and Chelsea came back the second half with a different spirit, and he changed everything. But it's true that Chelsea didn't put everything they needed, all ingredients needed, to make sure they're going to have an easy game.
Do you think do you think they were caught out by the fact that Palace went with five at the back?
That's possible, but it doesn't explain everything. I think it's mostly what you do when you have the ball. The rhythm that you put, when you're really sure on your football, you pace up the game, you do everything, and you direct the game, which wasn't the case. We felt hesitation. We felt not being ready to fight. We had the game against Real Madrid with the aggressiveness needed for a kind of game like that. You have to be able to do the same thing on the FA Cup round, because you need to direct the game.
Nadim, how did you see it? Because, of course, as Frank was saying, you know, Chelsea probably didn't approach the first half, you know, with the right mentality and style. But Crystal Palace also did a lot of good to kind of stop them from getting a rhythm.
Yeah, they certainly did. I think, you know, going for that the five at the back, it threw me off a little bit, because I was thinking, is Kouyaté playing back there? But he was. And in fairness, he did well. He did well, and you saw some of the runs from Chelsea who were trying to make him behind. They weren't as effective because there was more cover there. So it was a different sort of threat for Chelsea. And at Palace, I thought they looked comfortable in the first half. But unfortunately, as the game progressed, you realise that level of comfort might have been their ceiling for the day. Mm. You know, they didn't really offer a ton in terms of being truly dangerous when they're going forward. Like, they had a couple of chances, but you never really felt like they could just take the game to Chelsea and go and just go on and dominate. So for Chelsea being subpar like they were the first half, in our opinions, like, you could see they could get better. Whereas for Palace in the second half, you weren't sure they could. But, you know, credit to Palace. But it just goes to show, you know, the way this game of football goes, you've always got enough talent to be able to win a game, but you need to be able to take your chances. And for them, they didn't do that, so they were never really going to be in with a chance.
No, but
such.
Didn't you regret that some players didn't go for it in Palace?
Yeah, it's. I think when I look back at that game, I think there were players who were on the field who did their job. But I think they'll leave the field disappointed, because they'll probably believe they could have done more. You know, and I think that's a shame, because these sorts of games, FA Cup semi-finals, coming to Wembley in general, there's never a guarantee you'll be back here again. So I think that's going to be a shame for them. But at the end of the day, I think Chelsea in the end showed their class. And, you know, they're very much deserved in terms of being in the final.
Well, Thomas Tuchel then brought on some changes. He was forced to take off Kovacic, brought on Ruben Loftus-Cheek. Then he brought on some couple of changes as well that ultimately made the difference for you, Frank. Which one do you think made that ultimate difference?
Well, definitely Loftus-Cheek. When he came, he changed the rhythm of the game. He was going more forward to support the front line. And he scored the first goal. He was there. And yeah, we know the talent of Loftus-Cheek. I think he should be able to play more games to get the rhythm that he needs to be effective. But definitely today, yeah, the I don't know who decides who the man of the match is. Yes, they decide Werner, whatever. But I really think Loftus-Cheek made a difference.
Mm-hmm. Nedim, you agree with that?
Yeah, I think he did. I think it made a big difference, especially for the nature of the game itself. Because I think at times for Chelsea in that first half, they were pretty much moving side to side. Mm. They weren't really being able to break from midfield and sort of change the tempo of the game. But in someone like Ruben Loftus-Cheek,
it's a mouthful.
Say when you're not English.
So, yeah, exactly, yeah. Sorry, it's my second language.
But call him Rubes like
exactly,
I call him.
No, I'm not going to do that. But, yeah, with someone like him, he poses a far different threat to Palace. And I think the energy that he could inject, especially in that second half, because he's breaking from midfield with the ball. He's a strong runner with it. And the thing is, for those guys playing up against him, physically you can't move him out of the way. And you add that to the technique and stuff that he has, and he's exactly what Chelsea needed today. I think Tuchel said after the game that, you know, he's been playing really well recently, so bringing him on was going to be a key thing. And he did that, and you know, the result was theirs. And yeah.
Well, Mason Mount got a goal as well, but as Frank said, Timo Werner's the one that got man of the match. This is a whole new Timo Werner, and I mean, I got to speak to him after the match, and he just said mentally he's just so much happier now, and that's clearly showing.
Well, that's clearly showing because well, when you're a football player, we don't teach you how to play football. We put you in the best condition, and that's what's going on with Mr. Tuchel. Mr. Tuchel said, "I don't put he doesn't put Lukaku because Werner is on fire right now, so it's hard to put him away. You have to give him the chance and the trust that he deserves, and it's what he does right now. He worked for that. He worked very well for that, so he deserved to be on the field, and he showed to the coach that he has the right to play, and that was the case today. He's a different player from what we saw since the beginning of that season. So it's good for the club, it's good for himself. Hopefully he's gonna carry on like that.
Well, we touched on it in the show as well about Thomas Tuchel's comment saying that exactly what Timo Werner has done, that's exactly what Romelu Lukaku has to do. And now it's even harder to take Timo Werner off because he does warrant his place. You guys had a nice little run-in with Lukaku. How'd you find him, guys?
It sounded like it was hostile after the game.
No, it was a nice run-in in the tunnel.
It was a nice
couple
moment.
Couple big names.
Yeah, just a couple. Not me, but we were in the tunnel. And then, like, Frank was standing there and Lukaku came over, you know, gave him a hug and he started talking about
football. The warmest embrace I've ever seen.
It was incredible. It was like they played together or something, except he's 54.
But, you know, I like to say my age.
He's
exactly.
A legend, though.
Now that I know it, I'm never going to stop saying it, but like, he's in a difficult situation because now Werner's in form. You know, Havertz has been in good form. And other players who've been in form as well. We've seen a lot of Pulisic playing as well.
Yeah.
But the fact is, you know, you're on the bench until the manager decides to put you on. And so the key thing is to be ready. And as far as, like, this season goes for him, it's been disappointing. But it's not over yet. And he could still have a big say in terms of how it finishes.
I think, and it's what I said to him, you know, we all know the qualities of Lukaku.
Yeah.
And it's not putting the 100 million in front of him was going to help him out, you know. And that's the thing. And I say, you know, everybody knows in the world the talent that you have. You showed it last year. You know, be patient. Trust yourself. You know, we love you. People who watched you last year see how good you can be, and the fans, they're behind you. They're ready to cheer you up. So don't be afraid of trying stuff, because we all know that at some point it's going to come back. We are talking about Werner.
Mm-hmm.
It's back to the business, and it's possible for Lukaku as well.
Frank, we're going to have to give him a 10% raise for these pep talks that he's giving to Chelsea players. He might need to give them another pep talk, though, because in the final, they are going up against Liverpool, guys. As we know, that was probably, Nedim, you and I were there, and that was one of the most entertaining draws we have ever seen, I think, period. What does Chelsea have to do to go after Liverpool now?
I have no doubt that Chelsea is going to adapt to the Liverpool tempo or rhythm. And that's the thing with Chelsea. And that's we can complain about the fact that when they play against a so-called less good team, they don't play that well, like today against Crystal Palace. But they know how to level their quality and the way they play when they play against Liverpool or Manchester City or Real Madrid lately. They're going to play more vertical. And this is what we saw during the Carabao Cup final, but also in the Premier League games, where that we saw a different Chelsea.
Yeah.
They know how to adapt. So I've no doubt that we're going to see a very entertaining final. Who's going to win? That I don't know.
Neds?
Yeah, I think the three games they've had so far this season have been very entertaining. The draw at Anfield, the draw at Stamford Bridge, and then the 0-0 draw at Wembley. You know, they've been really good games because I think they're a good matchup for each other. So going into this one, obviously the stakes are a bit different now because for Chelsea, this is their last chance at silverware. But, you know, it should make for a great game, and I'm sure Frank will arrive this time with his Rudiger shirt that he picked up earlier.
Yes, I had a Rudiger shirt that
Frank
he offered to me.
Frank begged a shirt off of Tony Rudiger.
Beg. I said, give me the shirt. He said, give me the shirt, and he gave it to me.
He gave it to him. That's what happens when you're a legend like Frank Leboeuf. Frank Leboeuf. We'll see if he's back with us in May. Nez will for sure. I will be there. May 14th is when it all goes down, guys, and we're expecting a good one.
I so wish Frank gave Lukaku a copy of his book.
Oh, yes. Signed copy.
This is all you need, my friend.
Yes.
Liverpool against Chelsea then will be the FA Cup final, repeat of the League Cup final, which, as Alexis mentioned, was a thrilling 0-0 draw, but it really was a thrilling 0-0 draw, not a sarcastic one. Stevie, does the fact they met already this year in a big competition final make any difference going into this one?
I don't think so. Listen, from a Liverpool point of view, it would have been better to play Crystal Palace, no question. Chelsea just have more ability, as do as Liverpool, obviously. But the fact that it's Liverpool-Chelsea is great for the final.
Yeah.
And the fact that Liverpool in particular only play one way, and that's on the front foot and going forward. And as Frank said there, you know, Chelsea will adapt their game to try and take advantage of that, which is pretty much what we've seen in the two games, and particularly the Carabao Cup final. You know, Chelsea was sitting strong, but they knew that when Liverpool coughed the ball up, there would be some holes, and they went after it. And I don't think we'll get anything different in the FA Cup final when it comes around, regardless of what happens between now and then. I think we can look forward to another great game.
So it's Liverpool against Chelsea in the FA Cup final, a match, of course, that you can see live on ESPN Plus. May the 14th, that's the Women's FA Cup final, which gives us a bit of a spoiler, I'm afraid, for what we're about to show you. But just confirmation then, Liverpool against Chelsea, live from Wembley, Saturday, May 14th. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. In the Bundesliga today, Bayern Munich bounced back from that disappointing exit of the Champions League to beat Bielefeld by 3-0. That put some 9 points clear at the top of the table. Of course, they'll win the championship once again as we welcome in Jan Arge Fjortoft to the show. Jan, what would you like to say about this game?
I would like to say that not even Steven Nickel can make an excitement more in the German Bundesliga now, because if Bayern now win against Dortmund in the Klassiker this weekend, they will be 100% champions, and then Steve and myself will have to find another excitement somewhere else. It's going to be hard, though, but I think we'll stick to English football. But Real Madrid won. That was not what I was talking about, but I was talking about Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich, after being knocked out by the Spanish Villarreal, who has, of course, made headlines in Germany. I know there is a lot of things going on at Bayern at the moment, but they do what Bayern normally do. They win football games again, but that Villarreal thing is still going on now for a long, long time. And for Julian Nagelsmann, it won't be enough to win the league to stay away from criticism now, because you expect Bayern to win the league, at least win the double, and they won't do anything. They will win the league, but not the cup.
I want to talk about the Champions League fallout just in a moment. Just take us through the Nianzu header and why it infuriated Nagelsmann, Jan.
Why he was mad here.
Yeah.
Well, I think that at the moment he is a bit furious about everything, but
he felt he should have been taken off. Yeah, well, he wanted to take him off because it was a red.
He said afterwards that I have problem with him in training as well. I don't like that the kid is doing that aggressive things, and he has to learn from this. This is a young lad, and he was very clear after the game that I took him off because of this and because he's doing it in training as well. So Julian Nagelsmann tells some of his young kids off, which is fair enough. And Julian Nagelsmann don't like that, and I think that is a good way to do it.
As we're talking about Nagelsmann, let's continue that conversation, Jan. How much blame has he got over the last few days?
Well, he's been lucky because he's sitting next to Salihamidzic and Oliver Kahn. And what is new in the last couple of three days, is after the Villarreal game, people are starting doubting what do they do. I mean, remember Uli Hoeneß and Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, two of the most prolific and famous and best leaders of German football. They said, we're going to leave, and these two are the ones that are going to take over afterwards, us. Now they're losing Süle on a free to Dortmund. They also lost Alaba to Real Madrid. And they're losing against Villarreal. And that's not very, very popular at Bayern. And if you add to that Lewandowski seems to be more and more, is it reluctant, if I use that word, is more and more possible that he wants to go. Then the leadership of that club at the moment is not going very well. Rummenigge has been half clear on that. Uli Hoeneß still hasn't said anything. So this excitement, Steve, in German football. What will Uli Hoeneß say about Oliver Kahn?
I can barely sit in my chair listening to this.
but it's interesting because Bayern Munich, you expect them to always go as far as you can in the Champions League. They were lucky to get Salzburg in the first draw. Then they got Villarreal in the second draw. And no disrespect to Villarreal, but you expect Bayern to knock them out. And so first they're starting on the head of sport, and then they're going to at the CEO, Oliver Kahn. And Oliver Kahn and Salihamidzic are not the best in the department of communication, so they are struggling at the moment.
Well, speaking of communication from Oliver Kahn, Jan, am I right in thinking that he said that they can't afford Erling Haaland?
Well, first of all, he was at the show today, and he had to leave in the middle of the show because he had to go to Bielefeld, which was funny because he's not going to all games. But anyway, and then he said, like a lot of the clubs, you know, we're coming at the end of this Haaland saga. There will be a decision soon, and then everybody will talk about money and just wait for it. Raiola will come soon, as Manchester United did when he went to Dortmund. We will have all the same spin again. And yes, Oliver Kahn said today we had to go out of this deal because of the financial situation. But listen, someday someone will say that Bayern are still in there and it's not about money. We'll see what kind of decision will be made soon.
You suggested it's City or Real Madrid. Do you still have that train of thought, Jan?
I've said it for a long time that those are the two favourites, but Bayern has been very active here. But you know, Dan, we spoke about this before. I mean, this is a difficult balance for Bayern Munich, because when Oliver Kahn is talking about Haaland, he's actually talking to Robert Lewandowski, because he's already got the best striker in the world who scored over 40 goals a season. Didn't score today, as you've seen, but still he's speaking to Robert Lewandowski, because every time he heard the word Haaland, he knows that is a devaluation of his position at Bayern Munich. So this is a tough one for Bayern at the moment. But do I think they are still after Haaland? Of course I do.
And of course, as Jan mentioned, they meet in each other in Der Klassiker, which is live on Saturday. It could be done and dusted next weekend. Bayern against Borussia Dortmund, live on ABC and ESPN+. Coverage starts at midday Eastern.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But for now, thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next, as we'll be answering some of your questions. Welcome in, then, to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Ali and Stevie here in the studio. Jan Arge Fjortoff also joins us. And really, it is the big question that everyone has been asking over the last few days. What was Fashion Week like, Dan? Well, I thank you very much for all the compliments that I received for my picture. Wow. And some of the... You haven't seen that yet?
What? Oh, no. What? Hey, you're looking into my soul right now.
What a poser.
Wow. Fantastic.
Some people didn't have some very flattering things to say. Dan.
Most people.
Did you have to use the same top as the wall behind you? Was that a rule?
No. This was on my cruise.
Oh, hello.
Hello, darling. And Josh took that picture. People said some unflattering things, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Kay the worst, though.
Yeah.
What filter did he use?
Wow.
That's all natural, darling. Yeah. Absolutely
unfair,
natural.
Unfair.
Don't worry about that.
I mean, it's just those eyes are just looking into my soul.
Right.
That is Paul Newman.
So when I was enjoying my trip away, we had an incident, really, at the Nickel household.
Oh,
and Stevie, very brave, it must be said, to continue.
Yeah.
Like a wounded soul. You tripped over the dog, Stevie, hurting your shoulder in the process.
I did.
What was Eleanor's reaction?
Well, as I'm lying on the garage floor on the concrete
with difficulties,
and severe pain, by the way, let me tell you, which is still not subsided. Eleanor informed me that Haggis, her dog, got a fright. He's okay.
At first thought was the dog,
I'm like, cheers, thanks, Eleanor. No, I'm fine, thanks.
But you can't move your shoulder up. You can't even shave at the moment.
I can't even shave. It's getting better every day.
I mean, it's like Rocky.
Okay,
what
right.
Bravery. Courage.
You want us to talk about soccer, right? Oh, okay, then we will. Does Pulisic need a move from Chelsea? And if so, where do you think... You're right. It's your shoulder. You're making a noise. Why did you react like that, Stevie?
Well, because we had this... I think we had this time last year.
Oh.
The same question.
Okay.
I mean... Why is everybody so keen for Pulisic to leave Chelsea? Mm. I think he plays enough for where he is in his career. And I think that he needs to stay where he is.
Right.
And keep developing. I think he's getting better. And he's getting more mature. He needs to stay where he is. And people need to get off his back.
Oh.
He's only at the start of his career. He's not some guy that should be scoring 40 goals a season and lighting up every 10 seconds of a game. He's still maturing. He's still getting better. And leave him alone.
And not only that, Dan, I think that it's very important for Pulisic to stay with a coach that trusts you. And people will just see numbers, how many games he's playing. Tuchel rates Pulisic. And Tuchel is a great coach to have as your teacher in this stage of your career. So I'm with that wounded soldier called Stevie Nicol that he should stay.
For all, will Ronaldo play in the Premier League next season? If not, where? Let's start with you, Jan.
Well, first of all, let's stop with this thing that Ten Hag, as a first action, he has said to Manchester United, leave Ronaldo away from me. Yeah, right. Ten Hag can say that about Ronaldo. I've never thought that will be happening. And if Cristiano Ronaldo is the biggest problem Manchester United got, they have to start searching again for the other problems. Yes, I think that Cristiano Ronaldo will play in the Premiership next season.
What are you doing?
Well, it's going with the Beckenbauer look. Going with the Beckenbauer look.
Got my arm, isn't it? Yeah. Got my arm. Does that actually help?
What are you holding to?
What was quite funny was Ali undressing Stevie during that time.
Well, it's a little disturbing. Didn't feel comfortable doing it.
Ronaldo?
I mean, it... Can you leave me out of this for a minute?
It's all right, Stevie, don't worry. How's the dog?
He's doing great.
Feeling it?
You know, I got a little scared, but he'll be all right. If you're Ronaldo, and if you're Manchester United, if you're Ten Hag, this is a very sort of touchy situation, and it's one that it's going to take some skill to handle it properly, because dealing with a legend, the stature of Ronaldo, is never easy. So Ronaldo would do him a favor, Ten Hag, if he actually were to say, you know what, I think my time at Manchester United is done. Until he does that, there's nobody pushing him out.
What's he doing now?
I don't know. You keep taking calling off. I don't know what happened.
Well, I can't give a jacket back on, can I?
That's all right. We'll just leave it off. Steve, there we are. Let's not make a big drama out of it.
Don't fuss around me. I don't like it when people fuss around me.
It's okay. I'm just going to hang it here.
There you are. Just hang it there. Okay. It's all right. Do you want some ice or anything? Okay, to Stevie. This is
very tender right now.
With the Liverpool front five doing so well at the moment, three of those out of contract are in 2023. Would you tie them all down to new contracts if possible, or would you sacrifice one to make a big signing to keep things fresh as they all enter their 30s?
I think that's a great question.
So, it's Mane, isn't it? Salah and Firmino.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I tell you, I mean, I like the thinking behind that, because you have to think eventually, if you signed them all up and you got five of them,
yep,
then I would suggest that Salah's always going to play if he's fit. I think right now Mane has to play. And it kind of seems like Diaz is the third one.
Okay.
So the other two...
So Firmino is the one... It was also out of contract in 2023.
Aye. So I think... I like, as I said, I like the way this guy's thinking, and I think you only need to keep freshening it up. And I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world if indeed Firmino did go, because I've been kind of waiting the last, pretty much all of this season, for him to be back to the Firmino that made him such a great player.
Easy, and it just hasn't
been happening.
Easy, Steve.
Particularly, you know, his touch and the way he would assist the other two each side of him, and just generally his all-round play, hasn't been particularly great for what, 12, 18 months? So I would have no problem. I shouldn't say no problem. He's a great player. But I would suggest that if he moved on, mm-hmm, and you bring in a younger player, then that would be a good move.
Is it adrenaline that is getting you through this?
Kicking in.
That stopped a long time ago. Ali, do you think Real Madrid need backup right and left backs? Because any time they have to use either Marcelo or Vasquez, Militao and Alba are pretty much on their own. Alaba, pretty much on their own.
Mm. Well, yes, and that is something that will be coming at some point. Marcelo, this is his last season with Real Madrid. And while Lucas Vasquez is a useful player because he can play different positions and he can cover a space here and there, at some point you have to have a better option, a natural option as a right back when Carvajal goes down with an injury. And that happens quite often. So therefore, yes, absolutely, they have to have better cover than what they have now.
I mean, let's...
Dan, I have a Real Madrid question to you. I know you're more busy now in the fashion industry, but
yes,
how can you talk to Sid in Spain with a Real Madrid grace without saying Puskas? Puskas is Puskas. I can't believe it. Please come back to the sport world, please.
All right, Yannick, I was just off the cuff. I was thinking generational.
No, you never do that. You were always so well prepared.
Exactly. But of that generation, De Stefano is always held to a higher regard than Puskas is.
Yeah,
so
from some.
That's why when De Stefano, Butragueño, that generation, Raul, that generation, Ronaldo, that generation, and now Benzema.
Yeah, so you took one from each generation. So you would have taken Beatles ahead of Elvis, for example.
Yes, I definitely would.
Okay, fair enough. I understand your system now. Okay.
Final question, and it's to Jan, butting in. Do you have any concerns with Odegaard captaining Arsenal at such a young age? I know he's had experience captaining Norway nationally, but with Arsenal fighting for a top four spot, do you think that Arsenal should be given a young kid like him the armband right now?
I don't think that is nothing to do with age in general to be a captain. He's 23 now. But there's some people think he's still 16, just signed for Real Madrid, by the way. But so if you see the players available for Arteta now, I can see Martin Odegaard do that. He's a great young lad with a great attitude, and it's nothing to do with age, nothing to do with that. That is how mature he is. And so, yes, I think that Arteta should give it to Martin Odegaard.
That's it. Jan, didn't you break your arm a couple of weeks ago? I feel that healed quite quickly. Any tips for Stevie?
But I would say that I took 3 days off now. And what did I miss being off? I was invited to Barcelona with Eintracht Frankfurt. I couldn't go there. Point one. Two semifinals at Wembley. But the good news is, Soldier Nickel, that I was skiing for 3 days without getting hurt. But then again, I didn't bring my dog.
With a broken arm? You skiing with a broken arm?
The important part is that he didn't bring his dog.
Yeah, how could you have not gone to that Eintracht Frankfurt Barcelona game?
Wow.
Were you jealous that it eclipsed your game?
Let's put it this way. During the night, I got videos from everybody. Where are you, Jan? Join us at the Ramblas at 3 o'clock. And I was in holiday with my family, which was nice too.
Never has the word nice been used so loosely. That is it. Thank you very much, guys.
Hey, there he is.
Look at
you. Could have ironed the shirt at least, huh? Come on now. There are creases on the shirt. You just got it out of the bag. You got to iron it at least. If you're promoting something.
Iron it on the cruise. Am I busy?
Yeah, there's an iron on the cruise.
You should have got on the weights before it as well.
Oh, well, you could have done a lot of things.
Pump yourself up.
A couple of push-ups.
Don't do that, Stevie. You're going to hurt yourself. We'll be back tomorrow. Of course, a big focus tomorrow. Barcelona in action. Be sure to join us.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.